Romans chapter 8, then no condemnation, no condemnation. Reading at verse number 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation. That sounds pretty good. All right? When you think about life, condemnation comes from a number of different directions. The first and probably most frightening is condemnation coming from the Lord. You say, but why would God condemn us? Well, the Bible says pretty clearly that the only way to actually escape the condemnation of the Lord, escape the wrath of God, is through Christ Jesus. Right? Paul, as he was writing early on in Romans, he writes in chapter 3 that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, that we are condemned because of sin. And there's no way to avoid that condemnation except through Christ Jesus. God has told us in his word that there is a day that is coming, that this world will cease to exist, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth, that the world that we live on, that God created, will no longer exist. And at that point in time, all of us will go before God in judgment. I say all of us, but the truth is, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, it's a different experience for us. And we'll talk about that maybe as we get further into the message. But there is a great white throne of judgment, the judgment seat of God, where we come before him, he weighs our life, he looks into the Lamb's book of life, because the only way to avoid condemnation is if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, that you are in Christ. And if we're not in Christ, then condemnation from God comes, and along with the devil and all of his angels, they are cast into the lake of fire which never ceases burning, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Condemnation from God is a horrible thing. But the interesting thing is there's other sources of condemnation that come into our life. Condemnation from other people, to where people look at us and say, I don't like what he's doing. I don't like what she's doing. I think they're wrong. I think they're bad. All these kind of things are happening. Now, condemnation is different than persecution, right? It's, Bible says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So sometimes you might be working hard, you know, diligently working, doing all things as unto the Lord, and your person who's working across the hall from you might think, man, he's making me look bad. That guy's terrible. Well, that's not condemnation. That's persecution. That's just feeling wrong. Where you're doing the right thing, there are some parts of our society that are like, what do you mean you're getting married before you live together? That's stupid. And we're like, no, that's righteous. That's righteous. But there are others that would persecute somebody for doing the right thing. And it's very interesting that we do things that other people condemn us for, and we all have felt it. The truth is, there are people sitting in this room who have felt condemned by other people in this room. And in many ways, we as Christians are some of the worst people at that. And it's a struggle. Because we have this high sense of what is right and what is just and what is honest and what is pure and who God is and what the standard should be. And we have this really high sense. And when people don't live up to it, it's like, maybe we should excommunicate them. And we don't say those words maybe, but we stop inviting them over for dinner. We stop having interaction with them. And there is this great separation. And the truth is that we have experienced that not only outside, but we've experienced that some even inside the church, where somebody in this church may feel condemned by somebody in some other church. It happens all the time. There's also one other source of condemnation in our life, and it's our own heart. That there are things that go on in our lives that we recognize nobody else can see or even know is happening, and we know it's not good for us. We know it's not in line with what God wants. We know that we're in the wrong, and our own heart condemns us. But this scripture tells us that in Christ Jesus, we can experience a life that has no condemnation. None. Not from God, not from others, not from ourselves. That in Christ Jesus, we can experience a life without condemnation. So let's talk about that a little bit. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is, what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? You know, sandwiched between Romans chapter 8 and Romans chapter 12 is Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul writes that if we would believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, and we would confess with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. Okay? So there is this sense of belief. Faith somehow is the crux of being in Christ Jesus. But what is the faith that actually puts us in that relationship, that makes us a part of the family of God? Is it just believing? Well, in Romans, he says, no, it's not just believing, it's also confessing. If you read the books of James and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, you'll find out that they're also very concerned about what you do in process of living your life, whether you're following his commandments, whether you have works to follow your faith. There are just different things that both those gospel writers would talk about. Jesus himself said that we're not supposed to just believe, we're supposed to believe and be baptized. That faith, really, the faith that actually we are saved through is faith that includes belief. That belief is shown by obedience. That first we're baptized, that we then begin to follow the precepts of the Lord. We begin to walk in the ways of the Lord. We begin to not do things in our own way, but in His way. And that obedience actually then becomes a lifestyle of trust in the Lord. That is what places us in Christ Jesus. That it is faith that is shown by obedience that is lived out in trust. And in fact, if we were honest with ourselves, the only time that we're disobedient to God's path is we don't trust the outcome. We don't trust what God has said. We don't trust that God has that future and hope that we desire. And so we disobey. But it's actually because faith has dropped off. It's not proven by obedience, which the trust is the thing that weighs that imbalance. So in Christ Jesus, it's not just flippantly saying, oh, Jesus is Lord of my life now. It's not that. It's no. Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, and I confess in obedience that Christ, that God raised him from the dead, and that resurrection actually is going to inform my life for obedience, and it's going to be shown in trust. People are going to see it. They're going to know that we are different. Paul spent an awful lot of time talking about our condition in the first 7 chapters of Romans. He talked about the fact that I already mentioned that we are sinners. That the penalty of that sin is that we will die and be separated from God. Except God then put into place this whole set of laws, this whole set of rules for Israel, right? And they lived according to those laws. But the problem is that those laws really just showed them how they couldn't live according to those laws. And so then he had to institute a whole thing of sacrifice, because it was only the shedding of blood that would actually forgive the sin. And so they sacrificed, but the sacrifices weren't perfect. They were the best that they had. They were without blemish, but they weren't a perfect sacrifice, so they had to do it over and over and over and over again. And finally, Jesus was born. Jesus offered his life as a perfect sacrifice, one sacrifice for all people, for all sin, for all time. We're no longer under that curse if we're in Christ. And then it wasn't shortly after that that the temple was destroyed and no other sacrifice could be offered anyway. And so Jesus becomes the only recourse for us. We cannot and are not any longer required to live under the law. We live under the law of Christ as the perfect sacrifice. He is our Sabbath rest. We no longer work. Okay. So Jesus, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. What does that mean? That means that though we are imperfect, if this doesn't apply to you, then just don't listen to this part. But when I look in the mirror, I know I'm not perfect. Okay? And I have a spouse who reminds me of my imperfection. And the truth is that we all know we are not perfect, right? We all know that we don't do everything how God would want us to do. That sometimes we think thoughts. Sometimes we say words. Sometimes we do things that we think, oh, we're not perfect. But that's not how God sees us. God sees us through the veil of Christ's blood. It says, when Jesus died and he was placed in the tomb, that the veil was rent from top to bottom, that God took away that separation between us. Why could he do that? Because the sacrifice that Christ made becomes the veil that we go through. And he sees all of our imperfections through the mist of Christ's blood as we've applied his sacrifice to our life. And so he sees right now, he doesn't see how you failed. He doesn't see how you feel about yourself. He doesn't see how there's this sense of imperfection or sin. Instead, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And for God the Father, we who are in Christ are perfect. We are righteous. We are whole. We are his body. So in Christ, from God, there is no condemnation. Okay? In Christ, from God, there is no condemnation. Does that mean that there's no condemnation at all? No, it doesn't, because even in Christ, there are just lots of evil things. And in fact, if you read on, it says this in verse number 4, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so this sentence here, this verse actually modifies the first verse. There is therefore because of the sinful nature of man, because of the law that was put in place that could never perfect us and didn't perfect us, therefore because Christ gave himself as the perfect sacrifice for us, that we no longer have to walk in God's condemnation, but we walk in his freedom instead, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That verse modifies the first verse. That we have to understand, if we're going to have no condemnation in our life, that actually there has to be a following through of that we no longer walk according to the acts of the flesh, but instead we walk according to the Spirit. So let's talk about the acts of the flesh. I'm not going to list them. Honestly, you can read every epistle in the New Testament and they give a list of the acts of the flesh. Everything from murmuring and complaining all the way up to murder. Included in that, for parents who need ammunition, is disobeying your parents. That's all listed in acts of the flesh. So you say, well, a 2-year-old doesn't sin. He doesn't know what's happening. I'm just telling you that a 2-year-old has a sinful nature and they find out early how to disobey their parents and to push every button their parent has and to say no. Okay? It's just how it is. We have it in us. And those acts of the flesh are right there. And the reality is that if we find ourselves involved in the acts of the flesh, then we experience two things, both the condemnation of others and the condemnation of our own heart. Let's just say, for instance, that we decided that we were going to steal somebody's car. None of you, I'm not making a suggestion, okay? And we're not actually going to go do that. But let's just hypothetically say that one of us decided, I need a car, and Randall Lee's looks like the best truck in the house. Yeah, probably not, Randall. Sorry. You don't have to worry about yours being stolen, but... So anyway, we make a plan, and in the middle of the night, we take this car, and we get caught. Because none of us are really very good thieves. Okay? So we get caught, and, you know, Randall throws the book at us, as he should. And the reality is, we get taken before the justice, and he says, you've stolen the car, you've got X number of days in jail. We're condemned. God didn't condemn us. Okay? You could still be a Christian sitting in jail for stealing a car. God did not condemn us. But we're not living under that first sentence of there is no condemnation because we're condemned and sitting in jail. Why? Because of what we did. Because we lived according to the flesh. And if we choose to continue living according to the flesh, whether that is in our sexuality, whether that is in drugs and alcohol, whether that is in stealing or lying or murder, if we continue to live according to the flesh, then we will be condemned. When I was growing up, and next year will be my 40th high school reunion, so it was a while ago when I was growing up. But when I was growing up, things in the church were different than they are today in the church. There would be no chance that anybody in my high school group was going to be living with somebody before they got married. There was no chance it was going to happen. Because that was just admitting that we're having sex before we get married. And that was just, no. You want to talk about condemnation from the church, from others. Yeah, we experienced it. That wasn't even culturally acceptable, let alone church acceptable. Now it seems like I was having a discussion with a young man the other day about a situation where we both were aware of it. And I said, that is just so far out of what I understand God's ways are. That's so far away from what I understand the Bible would have us do. And he said to me, everybody does it. It's expected. It's just normal. I said, but it's not right. And everybody doesn't have to do it. People are making a choice to live according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit. And you can't say that Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is no condemnation applies to you because there will be people who are condemning you. In fact, if you turn over to John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse number 16, you read these words. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us. Now the interesting thing is, this illustration here out of the scripture is talking about, you know, a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, and they are struggling specifically in this particular, they're just in need. I don't know whether that's food, I don't know whether that's money, I don't know exactly what that is, but the person who observes it, the person who sees it, actually has the worldly goods to be able to help. And they choose not to. For whatever reason. You know, we've all been there where we saw somebody who was in need and we actually had the time to help them, but we chose not to give them the time. Where we saw somebody who was in need and the Spirit of God prompted us, you need to give them this. And we didn't do it. Where we were prompted by the Spirit, go and pray for that person. go and walk alongside of that person. Go and help that person. And we simply said, oh, it must have been bad pizza. And we didn't do it. And what happens is in that moment, suddenly in our heart, we recognize I'm not the person who I say I am. And our heart condemns us. We've all been there. And the reality is that God is, the next sentence, God is greater than our heart. So God understands that and He can minister to us, He can help us, He can do all those things, right? But we actually have to make choices to not live according to the flesh. If we want to experience a world without condemnation, where we know nobody has anything against us, and we don't even have anything against ourselves, to our best of our abilities, we are living according to the ways of God. We won't be perfect. We'll fail. But that's where God's grace comes in. And He helps us. But our greatest, our endeavor is to live in such a way that we don't walk according to the flesh, but instead we walk according to the Spirit. What's it mean to walk according to the Spirit? At some level, that feels like that's mystical. I mean, does that mean I've got to hear this voice inside of me, these urgings? Do I need to speak in other tongues? Do I have to have the interpretation? What about a prophecy? I mean, what does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? Everything I just mentioned is possible. And everything I just mentioned, the Spirit of God works in and through us. But at just more of a concrete level, at more of a just baseline, tangible kind of thing, this word is inspired by the Spirit of God. That's what it says of itself. Every word is inspired by the Spirit of God. And if we want to walk according to the Spirit, just in a very concrete, just in a very tangible way, we have to know this word and let it be our standard rather than decide for ourselves what we're going to do. And you look at all those lists of acts of the flesh, and you can say immediately, the Spirit of God is what wrote those down there. They shouldn't be a part of my life. But you can also look in here and you can find out that the Spirit of God didn't just say things we shouldn't do. We talked about the Ten Commandments over the last number of weeks on to now Romans chapter 8. Not just things we shouldn't do, but also things we should do. There's things in here that are like, bear one another's burdens. There are verses in here that say things like, pray for each other, encourage each other, build each other up in the most holy faith. Over and over, there are positive statements as to how we are supposed to live our life. Think on these things, Philippians 4:8 says, those things which are honorable, true, just, holy, right, all those things. Think on those things. Why are we thinking about all the other things? Because we're not walking according to the Spirit. The Spirit has told us what to do. It's very tangible. It's very concrete. If we can't do the things that are written, how are we going to hear the still small voice and do the things that are that rhema, that spoken word of God to our heart? And I'm just suggesting to us that we have this great dream of there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we live in that reality from God to us, that He doesn't hold our faults against us. If He held our faults against us, Jeremiah says, it's only His great forbearance that He's not burned up right now. Every one of us have those shortcomings, those failures. If God held those against us, none of us would be living today. Every one of us would already be dead and in the fiery pit. But that's not how God, through Christ Jesus, deals with us. We walk in His grace. He sees us as righteous. He is faithful and just to complete what He's begun in us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He will finish the work that He's begun. I'm just saying, we still walk in condemnation, just not from God. And it's because of how we're living our lives. Because we're walking according to our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own flesh rather than walking in the Spirit. This morning, as we close, I would just like to say this, that if we would want to experience that lack of condemnation, no condemnation, then let's do those things. First, be in Christ. Christ is the answer. be in Christ. Second, be honest with yourself. Are you walking according to the flesh, or are you walking according to the Spirit? You have to be honest with yourself, because you'll never walk out of condemnation until you lay down the things of the flesh and you pick up the things of the Spirit. Once you begin to really find that as a pattern in your life, that you are no longer doing the things of the flesh as frequently, as often. Maybe it's like months between you have experiences. Oh man, that old man's supposed to be dead months ago. And it happens just so infrequently. Maybe you're there, but what you find out, maybe it's every day. Maybe it's like, oh, it's been 2 hours since I really had any kind of real problem that I did. I thought in fleshly kind of ways rather than spirit ways. It's a journey, right? But you are perfect in Christ. You are forgiven in Christ. Once you start that path towards obedience, towards trust, towards a walk in the Spirit, you'll begin to find out that blessings come. That it's not just condemnation disappears, it's that blessing replaces it. And you not only, you don't fear God's anger anymore, but you experience that open window of heaven and the blessings pouring out of it. You not only think about ways that you are falling short, but you begin to see how God is working in your life, and you can see how you're different than you were a year ago, how you're different than you were 5 years ago, how you're so changed from the way you were 25 years ago, and it becomes a blessing that rises up in you. Even others will bless you, because now you're not just worried about your own life, but you are blessing them. You are encouraging them. You are building them up. And suddenly you find that you have people in your life that are blessing you. That when somebody says an evil word about you, there are people that say, no, wait a second, I know them. And I know how they are. And I know who they are. And I would just encourage you that we can actually experience, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. We can experience that. It can be our testimony. But we have to make some choices. And it starts by being in Christ. And maybe you've come this morning and you would say to yourself, yeah, that I would love to live a life with no condemnation. It starts by being in Christ. And this morning, it's making a decision. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's just as easy as saying, I believe Jesus, I want to be saved. No, it's this hard. I believe Jesus, I want to be saved. I will testify of your grace and your goodness, and I will testify about it with my own obedience to who you are. And I will build a life of trust in you. That's following Jesus and being found in Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you just feel like, I don't even know if I'm in Christ yet. And you want to be. It's making a decision that you live out with your life. Anybody here would just say with a raised hand, Pastor, did you pray at the closing of this service? Did you pray for me so that I can be in Christ? Amen. Let me invite you to stand. And I'm not going to ask you for a response this time. But perhaps you would say, way too often, others have a reason to condemn me. Way too often, I have a reason to condemn myself. Because I'm choosing to live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Now, the devil wants you to be defeated by that. The devil wants you to just give up and quit. But God wants to change your life. He wants to change your life for the better. And it's just a matter, honestly, of surrendering Him in a strong enough way to say, I'm not going to do it my way or the world's way anymore. I'm not going to walk according to the flesh, but I'm going to let this word speak to me. and I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. You have to make that choice with the Lord. Nobody can make it for you. It's just between you and God. Lord Jesus, this morning, as we've looked at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, and we feel how good that sounds, that in you there is no condemnation. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us, out of your love for us, your Son Jesus Christ, and that he was willing to lay his life down, and that we are forgiven. And no longer are we condemned, but Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. But Lord, we also know that there still is condemnation that comes from others toward me, that comes from my own heart towards me. Because I had the wherewithal to do more, and I just didn't do it. Because I acted according to the flesh rather than according to the Spirit. Lord God, I pray that one, that you would just help me as I repent and choose to live differently. Help me to walk a life of obedience. Help me to live a life of trust. Help me to gain, Lord Jesus, your blessing in my life. Blessing from others, even as I bless you and others. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we close this service, these altars are open. Perhaps you'd like to come and spend some time in prayer. I know that there will be someone here that would pray with you and encourage you. May God, who gave us his Son Jesus, may that assurance of no condemnation from him carry us into a life of obedience, into a life of no condemnation. And may he add his blessing in Jesus' name. God bless you and God be with you.